Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, and your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcast with ease to build visibility and authority and attract leads and clients easily and simply by giving value and being yourself. So skip the overwhelm and the never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Reach out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this will work for you. And now, onto your scheduled podcast episode. So today we have with us Darina Lantella, the founder of Darina's Kitchen, who helps families rediscover the power of shared meals and traditions through cooking classes, online programs, and immersive Italy trips. Through her back-to-the-table approach, Darina guides people to create meaningful mealtime rituals that strengthen family bonds and embrace the Rosetta effect, the phenomenon where community and connection lead to longer, healthier lives. Now, Darina's journey from teaching cooking at age 19 to establishing her business in Italy demonstrates how cultural traditions can become powerful tools for modern connection. And while building a new kitchen studio in her Italian village, she's showing others how important life can be at the table. And from heritage to faith to family, it's all connected. I love this. Darina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining me. So to kick us off, can you expand a touch more on where you are today with your business and who is it that you love to work with?
Oh, wow. Well, today I'm going to get very simple. I'm in Italy in a little peasant village, and this is where I do most of my business. So I can't even say when I started because I've been teaching people how to cook since I was 19 years old when the college asked me. I was the neighborhood Italian kid who, everybody else around me wasn't. And I was the one with the restaurant, and I had an elementary school friend who went to school nearby and asked me to do a cooking class for her and all her friends. And I was like, okay. And it was just the most wonderful experience. And ever since then, I've been doing, classes here and there. And then it got to a point where I was doing it, kind of more seriously about 15 years ago. So it started out as just cooking classes. I have 6 kids, and it started out as I'm teaching people how to do it, healthy for the kids, cheaper if you have a family, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I knew there was something greater I was supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden it happened. My youngest kid was finishing high school, and then everything started to come together. And basically what it was, I realized where I was from and why I was doing what I was doing. And this whole back to the table movement came to be, and this whole Rosetta effect, which you just sort of touched on, the phenomenon by which people live longer, healthier, happier lives, by the way they live in community. So real quick, tell you the quick story of that. Rosetta effect, this phenomenon was started because of immigrants from this Italian village that I'm in now, who immigrated to the United States in the 1880s And they landed in eastern Pennsylvania working in the slate mines. They came up with a little discrimination, so they kind of moved off to the side and they started their own town and they named it after the hometown here in Italy, Roseto. So they lived in this little enclave for many years. And fast forward to the 1960s, the doctor serving the town told another doctor, nobody in this town had any heart disease. And at that time, heart disease was becoming a big thing in the 50s and 60s. And it was the lowest in the country. And as well as a lot of other ailments, they had nothing. It was like this little Shangri-La. So they go study it, thinking it's the food. What are they eating? But they were eating salted cured meats, food fried in lard. They were smoking and drinking and happy and healthy. Yes, they had their vegetable gardens, but all these other things weren't good for you. So what they did after further studies was they ultimately attributed their good health and longevity to was the community-centered, church-centered, family-centered life. It was the connections. It's what I call life around the table. Not necessarily what's on it, even though we know that is important today, but who's around the table? Who's in front of you? Who are you sharing that meal with? That's what's important. And so this is, I brought a group here to Italy, gosh, 8 years ago, I think it was 8 or 9 years ago, first time, because someone in a cooking class I was doing said, you're always talking about Italy. When are you taking us? And that's how it started. So it started as a culinary trip. And then I get here and I'm like, wait a minute, this is my town. I have so much more to teach than just that. And then someone of heritage of the town contacted me. I'm like, Roseto effect, back to the table. Boom, everything just came together all at once. Now, I know timing is of the essence, and everything started to come together when my youngest child was finishing high school. I knew I had to finish that job first so that I could start this one, because if I didn't learn everything I learned raising my six kids and being a wife for now 35 years, I would not be able to share all that I do, because I don't just teach people how to cook. I teach them how to be families. I teach them how to come reconnect. I coach a lot of families on in their relationships with the kids, with the spouses. It's all comes together if you just can sit down together. That really is the start. And
Well,
so
hold on. It comes together when you sit down together, but this has come together because you have been able to bring in all these aspects, these skills, these superpowers, these things that maybe you take for granted, that now you can be like in your toolbox. You've just got so much that you can give. And a lot of entrepreneurs wonder, how the hell do I get this out to people? What do I do? And once this idea, this concept drops into place, that moment of, so talking about that moment once you realize, oh, this all fits together. This is a business. What was that like for you personally?
It was kind of it was a huge aha moment. And I actually had something that happened that made me realize that this is it. I met a woman at a business networking meeting, and right when this all was just starting to like swirl and formulate, and she just loved this idea. And she worked for a local newspaper at the time. And she's like, I'd really like you to come to this other event. It was at a retirement community. She goes, I want you to come to this other event and meet some people I work with. So I said, okay. So I'm going, I'm driving. I had about a half an hour drive. And all of a sudden, the negative self-talk that attacks all of us, I'm driving in the car and I start crying. I am crying my eyes out. And I'm talking to myself and I'm like, who the heck do you think you are? You're just a mom. You think you're going to save the world, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just all the way there thinking this. So I get there, and of course I'm of my word. So I go in, I clean my face off, and I go inside. And she'd done other events there, so she knew some people already at the place. And this older black gentleman's walking towards us, and she stops to talk to him. And as we walk away, and she introduced me real quick. Hello, nice to meet you. And that was it. We walk away, and as we walk away, she goes, Mr. Brown has a cool story. And I said, what's that? She goes, he was one of Martin Luther King's drivers. And right at that moment, I feel like that was a message, like as if I know God wouldn't smack me in the back of the head, but I probably would smack me in the back of the head. It was like, see, one person can make a difference. And that moment really was pivotal for me, that I've not had that negative self-talk about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it anymore. I feel like, I was right when I'm feeling, who the heck do you think you are that you can change the world? You're just a mom. And then I meet somebody who I'm one person away from Martin Luther King, and who was one person who made a huge difference in this world. So I'm like, you know what? He was just one person. I'm just one person. I could do this too. I still have my negative self-talk about other stuff, but I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So
Okay, so let's talk about that why you're doing it. Let's talk about from your client's perspective. So these people that come over for your trips, your as if retreats as they kind of are. What tell me about what they enjoy. What did well actually no, not what they enjoy. What do they want? Why do they reach out? Why do they come on these trips? What are they looking for?
I think that, okay, for the, I have different kinds, I have kind of different segments of the population who come with me. There are some people who come because they want a different kind of trip. They've done the touristy stuff and they realize that I do something that's very authentic and I really share about the Rosetto effect and that this is the original Rosetto, and they want to do something slower. And what out of it is an authentic Italy trip. It's not a vacation that you need a vacation from. It's very tranquil. It's relaxing. It's almost an opportunity to look within yourself. We have so many wonderful shared meals where we sit there. We're not rushing. They learn the simplest thing, like having meals in courses. It slows down everything you're doing, your digestion, your conversation, your length of time at the table. I have a saying I always say, dinner brings them to the table, but dessert keeps them there a little longer. But so does an Italian meal that's in courses. You know, take your time, relax. There's no rush. I'm always telling people Italian time, not American time. And they go home and they tell their families that. And it's they have interesting reactions. So, you know, it's a very, it teaches people to slow down because I don't think we were created to live the speed of life that most of us live. Okay.
But these the relaxing, tranquil, not rushing, looking within ourselves, authenticity, this beautiful. But what does that give your people? What do they get as a result of this?
Well, I think they go home and they really start implementing it in their own lives. And I think that I've had, you know, everything from just retirees who just go home and decide to slow down a little bit because they feel like they're rushing for the finish line. And they said, you know what, we can enjoy it more just taking our time. I've had business people who take it into their businesses and slow things down there and gather around the table. The gathering around the table, I think, is the biggest lesson that everyone takes home, because there's so much great conversation going on. People that come on these trips meet each other. They've already made lifetime friends. We have WhatsApp groups. They're still talking and spinning. I'm in the mall and I have to silence them. Otherwise, my phone would be going all day long. But they're all good friends. I just got a photo today that, you know, three groups of people got together from three different parts of the United States down in Florida this week that were on my trip. And I'm like, that makes me so happy. So they've made friends, they've made connections. But, you know, I feel like, it really is the thing about connections that people take back with them. You know, I do tell them to take home recipes so that they can bring people to their table with those recipes. I said it's the best souvenir you can take home is a recipe.
Well, it sounds like you bridge these two worlds where it's external and internal, so you get healthier, happier. We remove the stress, the cortisol that is in abundance right now as family members, entrepreneurs, anyone right now. There's a lot going on and we've normalized that level of stress. I think you said that beautifully. This is what we've normalized. So to be able to have a meal time, it's not just rushed, eating it for the sake of it, because we eat in a stress mode, we're not in rest and digest, we're in fight and flight, which means our digestion is working very, very badly. No wonder we struggle. So to put ourselves in that place where we can digest, where we can enjoy, where we can slow down, everything becomes easier. Everything, for me at least, everything becomes clearer. So it's the internal what you get, but also it sounds like it's the relationships, the connections, when you can lift your head up and start to see around you and actually be present within a conversation. So the meal is just, it's just a tool. It's just the experience so that you can lift your head up and be present.
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing right now.
You're hearing right. You're hearing right. You know, it's something that we have to do as humans. We have to eat. We can live in a cave and a tent, whatever, but we have to eat. And I have friends who are chefs all over the world, in Nigeria, in India, all over Europe and Americas. But everybody will talk about the same thing. Everybody eats together in a circle, facing each other. You know, you don't eat at the kitchen counter where you're all facing the same direction. You eat at a table where you're facing in
Oh,
each other.
let's break this apart. We all have to eat. So you're right, we all have to eat, but I can go to McDonald's, I can rush it, I can do whatever. I still have to eat. But we all have to eat, true. but it's how we eat that changes everything. So it's like
Yeah.
you can talk about entrepreneurship. We all have to do marketing, but it's how you do the marketing and see results of that. So how you do something, it's the most important. So we all know how to eat, shove it in your face, but to cook, to slow down, to enjoy, to savor, there's the benefits. I know you've only touched the surface of this, but there's so many benefits to this, external and internal.
You know, there's so many pieces of it. So you said the cooking. Well, cooking is a together, pulls you together, whether you're teaching the kids how to cook, whether you're cooking together with your husband, or if he's just sitting, my husband likes to sit at the counter while I'm cooking because he knows better than to get in my way. But he sits with me and he'll walk, or, you know, watch or talk with me while I'm cooking. That makes me happy. But then when you think about it, if you take cooking as an activity, okay, I've done cooking for businesses for team building. And why do they always call to cook as a team building exercise? Because it's something that does can create a connection, it's conversation, it's creativity, but it's also something that each of these team members takes home with them because it's also a lesson that they've learned, not just to pull them together as a team, but also a lesson they can take home and then work on their home team. So you can do how it from home, it affects your work, but even at work, when you're doing a team building thing, it affects your home. You know, you can use it both ways. I think the lessons that you learn at the table, what do we learn? We learn conversation skills, we learn respect, we learn relaxation, because that is something that's crucial in life and in business. You need to take a break. Like, just like they say, get up every hour and get away from your computer and put your eyes somewhere else. You know, you need to have those in your life, and food is the perfect thing. Food brings people together. You know, if someone has a baby, you take them food. Someone dies, you take them food. If someone gets married, you celebrate with food. If someone has a birthday, you celebrate with. So there's always food is at the center of every thing that connects us, and it brings us together. And what's the first thing you talk about the wedding you just went to? Boy, the food was really good. Or, oh God, that food was horrible. You know, but the food is always the focus.
Yes, I with our group clients this morning, I was explaining a part of our process that we one phase leads to another, leads to another. And my metaphor was we distill this down like a fine balsamic glaze. We reduce, we reduce, we reduce until it's beautiful. Food is the one thing everyone recognizes that we love.
I mean, how many metaphors are there for food? We couldn't even begin to get started on counting how many there are, because it is, like you said, something everybody knows. We all need to eat. Might as well make it good. Make the food good and make the company good. Make the experience good. You know, to go into a kind of a negative moment, one, I was looking it up one time, and one of the articles I found about looking about the importance of connection, they said that the top common denominators for, unfortunately, for school shooters in America were mental health and broken families. Well, mental health isn't always chemical, it's often situational, and broken families is often that situation that is the mess. But, you know, if you think about it, you have a kid sitting across the table from you and he's looking a little glum, and you say, oh, you know, what's the matter? Why are you looking down today? And they say, oh, you know, somebody's mean to me at school today, or I failed a test or something like that. Well, we can get you a tutor, or we can invite that kid over for cookies, because, you know, sometimes a bully needs more help than anybody else. And you can solve a problem before it becomes a problem. But if that same kid who's feeling blue that day takes his dish and runs to his bedroom and sits in front of his computer, he's eating by himself, nobody's seeing him. He's sitting at a computer, maybe looking at stuff that's making him even more depressed. When I told somebody in Italy that, well, actually, I told a couple people in Italy that the kids in America will sometimes take their dinner to their bedroom, they're like, what? To them, it's a sin. It's like, what? The food? But your food, you know, you eat at the table, you respect the family, you respect the food, you know? I'm like, yeah, I know. Oh, my kids never did that. And it's,
Okay.
yeah,
I want to take
sorry.
this angle on a slight direction because I think this is, yes, you're absolutely right here. But I think logically we all get this. Logically, we all understand this. But the challenge with most people with any decision is time. It's, I don't have time. So I can resonate with, I don't have time to cook. The reframe, it's how we spin this. It's not about the damn cooking. So you could argue, I mean, we're about to hit Friday nights. So I don't have time to cook tonight. Cool. Do you have time to improve your relationship? Shit. That's a different way of putting it. So what is that cooking? What does it represent? I don't have time to sit down and eat this. Do you have time to talk to your person? Do you have time to connect? Do you have time to feel better? So if you can change that, again, with everything, I don't have time to work out. Do you have time to live longer? Do you have time to feel stronger?
You
I
can
don't
always
have.
make time for the things that are important in life, as long as you realize that they're important. See, that's the thing. I think what happened was, when the 50s came, and or where there was wartime and the men were away, the women were going to work, and so therefore they weren't home cooking. In the 60s, they're too busy, running around fighting, against war and throwing their bras in the air, and they don't want to cook. And then in the 70s, 80s, 90s, the people are becoming more affluent, and it's a sign of affluence, and I made it to go out to dinner or to buy something because someone else made it for me. All of a sudden, I think we did was we lost a couple generations of teachers. And so now when people say they don't have time, the thing is, I'm a soccer coach. Okay. I coached soccer for almost 40 years. That's another one of my passions. Okay. I was a player and I'm a coach. And that's what started me in the coaching world anyway. But let me tell you, moms would drop their kids off to me to coach, and they're going home to make dinner or buy dinner, whatever they're doing. But I'm on the field, so I don't have time to make dinner, supposedly. But it's about planning. Okay. My dinner was already cooking that morning, so all I had to do was warm it up when I got home. Or the chicken was already filleted before I left, so I just threw it in the pan, it cooked in 5 minutes. So these are lessons that I learned from my grandmother. I learned, well, okay, I was lucky I grew up in a restaurant, so I learned some things from the chef. But I learned these from my family. Preparation is easy if you know how to do it and when to do it. So these are some of the skills. It's not necessarily teaching people how to cook, it's teaching people how to teaching people about cooking, about how to do it, about how to be prepared. Just like in life, you have a job, you have to certain prepare something for the presentation at work, or you have to prepare to study for a test at school. Everything has some preparation. No one knows how to prepare anymore, so therefore no one knows how to cook. So it's just about putting it into your life the right way, just like anything else. And if you learn how to do that, again, that takes you into the real world and other places outside the home as well. So it can be done.
The one takeaway I want to put that is what you said. You will always find time for the important things in life as long as you realize that they're important. I mean, crumbs, how many things do we not do because we don't see it's important? How many things do we avoid? How many things do we ignore? I mean, we were chatting offline before we came on about business and life and what's going on. And you mentioned for you can find sometimes have imposter syndrome. You can feel like, I shouldn't reach out to the, even though you know what you do, you know the impact you're having, yet sometimes you struggle to send that email or make that introduction or invitation. So if I can share your words to help you and guide you in this situation and anyone else who needs to hear this, if you knew just how important that email could be and was, these are your words. Maybe you would do this. So that reframe, crumbs, this whole episode has been about reframing cooking, reframing eating, reframing marketing, reframing. It's all about the reframe. And once we see that true frame, what's really important? Yes, we have some to have guilt. Yes, we have frustration. But from that true place, we're now at choice.
Yeah, absolutely. You're throwing my words at me, aren't you?
You're welcome, I think.
You do, because when I was doing a lot of online networking during COVID, because I had to pivot my business, so reframe, as you're saying now, like that term. I had to pivot my business because I was doing everything in person. I had to do it. And then I became online and I started a Facebook Live show and a YouTube channel, which did grow my business. Because by the time we got out of COVID, all of a sudden I had a greater following and a lot more people who wanted to do cooking classes, go on trips with me, and all that. And so I did pivot my business, I think pretty well. When you asked me about, what's my big elephant that's in my way right now? What's my one problem spot? And sometimes it is putting myself in front of the right audience and not being afraid to send that email, to send that message to someone, whether it's someone who called me last year who wanted to go on a trip and I didn't follow up because I'm like, oh, am I being pushy? I don't want to be salesy, so then you're trying that. Oh God, it's terrible. And then, like I said, like that imposter syndrome that even though I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, not just what I want to do, but I am truly, I'm on a mission. Like I'm on a mission to get families back to the table, to save the world one table at a time. But honestly, I don't want to do one table at a time. I want to do a whole bunch of tables at a time. But I'm not going to do that if I don't get over my own self sometimes and get the word out there, you know. So okay. So next week I'm going to call you and tell you how many emails I sent out.
Well, look, what I love about what you just shared there is because we've listed all the benefits of the work that you do, the trips that you facilitate, what people take away from this. You live and breathe it. You've seen the results, you've seen the impact it makes, and yet you still have a bit of imposter syndrome. I think that's inspiration for everyone listening because we all have this. We'll all hit the level where we start to doubt, we worry, we hear someone else's voice, we hear our own voice, and it's normally complete rubbish, but it's there. So I want to normalize this. It is normal. It's okay to
It
feel
is.
these ways. Everyone feels it. But if we can, we just need the tools, the tactics, the support to be able to just that quick reframe, just to see this. So I
You
think
do
it's.
need people at your table who will support you and push you when you get into that spot. If you don't have those people, like I say, at your table, in your circle, you do need support. You need to believe in yourself. And I tell this to people when I'm coaching them, and yet I'm being probably more honest right now today than I've been in a while with anybody. That yes, I still feel that way sometimes. Yeah, most of the time people see me as a very bold personality. I'm a take charge person. Nobody believes that I was a really super shy child. And that's why I have such an affinity for the game of soccer or football, as you probably would call it, because I started playing and that gave me my voice. That's what taught me to have confidence and strength physically, emotionally, mentally, and to be a leader. So I am all those things and I know it deep down inside. And yet, you know, there's still the normal. Everybody, I think, feels it. And nobody wants to admit it that, you know, gosh, can I really do this? Am I enough of an authority in this area? Of course I am. I've done all the things I need to do. I've taken the courses. I've taught people. I've, you know, everything. Yeah, and I learned under wonderful people. So yeah, I can do this, and I will do this. And you know, I just have those moments, like I said, where I think we all fall back, and we have to just remind ourselves that it's okay to feel that way. Shake it off and then just keep going. Otherwise, you're not going to fulfill that mission. That same day, that woman that introduced me to Martin Luther King's driver, Mr. Brown, I then went on down the hall and met some of her colleagues, and her boss was there. And this woman really loved the idea. And she said to me, she goes, "When did you come up with this idea? Like, how long you've been working?" I said, "Literally, like, it just formulated like this month, like about a month ago." And she goes, "Don't let me see you next year and hear you still talking about it." It's like, whoa, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just remembering that moment, because I was like, okay, that means I better get my butt in gear and just believe in what I'm doing, because other people around me believed in what I was talking to them about. And so I was not just talking about it, I was doing it. So I guess I should continue to remember that conversation as well.
Absolutely. I love this. These are all things around the metaphorical table. All these people exist. They're all at one time. So to have our physical table with our families, with our friends, with our coworkers, with everyone around us, but also the mental table, the boardroom, as I call it, with Unforget Yourself, your boardroom, who is on there, dead or alive, made up, doesn't matter, who's in your boardroom, who's on that. So at one place on that table is that person with that one conversation. So the power is in the table. I love, look, let's shameless plug right now. So for those people like, hell yes, this sounds fantastic. How can I experience some of this? How can they reach out to you? How can they find out about these trips and the amazing work that you do?
Well, first of all, Dorina's Kitchen, and I've kept my business under that because you know what? Everything important in life happens in the kitchen at the table. We talk about business, we talk about home, we talk about bills, we talk about, you know, what college we're going to, whatever. So the kitchen is the most important. That's the neuro center of the home. And so yes, dorinaskitchen.com, Dorina's Kitchen on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, my YouTube channel. You know, I've got lots of videos on there, a lot of the ones that I've done live, that we cut them down so we're not boring you all day long. When I forget to get a spoon across the room and I have to go over there to get it, you know. But anyway, it's fun. I jokingly call my cooking show it's a cooking and Italian mother telling you how to live your life show. So that's what I am. So anyway,
Fantastic.
also just a little freebie giveaway if anybody
Ooh.
is interested. If you go to dorinaskitchen.com/recipes, I have five recipes that are just a little help for you that are simple and quick that you can help bring your family to the table. So if I can offer that out as well. And in the meantime, on my website, you can find out about the Italy trips, or retreats. We are actually this year doing a writer's workshop in September. We did a writer's workshop last year and it was a hit. And so we're doing it again. This is one place I'm writing. I'm in the middle of, I've been writing a couple books for years, are almost done. But the one place I could always write was here because it's tranquil and calm and I could, my brain is clear. And so I said to a writing coach friend of mine, I said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing a writing workshop?" She said, "Absolutely." So she came, checked it out, fell in love with the place, and we did it.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. So we're having a writer's workshop and retreat this September. And then I have my regular Italy, I call them trips, but they are almost retreat-like. It is to a peasant village. This is off the beaten path. We do things that, you know, the real Italians do. Nothing is done here for the tourists, so to speak. This is a place. And so it is like, if you want it to be a cooking trip, it is. If you want it to be a retreat and to relax, it is. If you want it to be just off the beaten path, authentic Italy, it is. If you want it to be a faith-based thing for you, it is, because it is almost it's when you're here, it's almost spiritual. I mean, it covers pretty much everything in my same normal trip. So, you know, give me a call. You can, all my contact information is on my website. It's dorinaskitchen.com. And you can, I do everything personal. So I take personal phone calls. I do Zoom calls if it's a group, no problem.
Fantastic. Well, there you are. If you're curious or think this sounds fantastic, check it out, reach out, grab that freebie, but start a conversation and see how this could fit into the work you do and your life, or how it can improve it. So look, Dorina, thank you so much for sharing all these hints, these tips, this principle. I love it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, one other thing that's coming up soon here is I will have be putting out my course on how to get your family back to the table. And I think it's crucial. It may seem so simplistic, but unfortunately, a lot of people have lost that knack. And you know, we lost a couple generations of teachers, like I said. So I feel like let's get it back. And so I'll be the mama that will teach you.
Oh, hell yes. Well, that sounds awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Wanna do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So, what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.